I have other different games. I even have one that could help make you smarter.
I was born dumb.
The secret to this podcast is that it is an illusion. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hey everybody, welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack episode 18, and we're thrilled to be here to bring you another weird movie that we found on Netflix, and we think is awesome, but not, maybe, could be. You'll have to wait and see. Stay tuned for that. Joining me today, oh, I'm Scott Johnson, by the way. Did I say that? I may not have. Joining me today, as always, is Mr. Randy Jordan. Mr. Randy Deluxe is what he goes by his friends. Randy Deluxe, what are you doing? How's it going? What do you got?
I'm not going to talk about World of Warcraft a lot.
All right. I like it. Oh, was that it?
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, okay. I got it.
Virtual reality.
I got it. Good thing I can edit that out in post. Also joining us is Mr. Brian Dunaway this week.
Yes, by the year 2001, we'll all be using virtual reality. As a matter of fact, I'm using it right now to file my toenails.
Do you think, much needed task. Do you think the virtual reality in 2001 that we already have, obviously, still looks like Sega Genesis games?
Oh, it's totally much sweeter than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, bringing up the rear, as it were, Mr. Coverville himself, Mr. Brian Ibbett.
Oh, hey, thanks. You know, I just came up with this awesome special effect where I can turn a human being into a bunch of bubbles. Do you think we could use that, like, constantly, maybe?
I love that part.
That was great. But there didn't seem to be any hardcore rules about that. Like, some guys would fall apart and explode. Other people would stand there and sort of bubble the whole time. I could never really get my head around what technology I believe in.
Which switch he was using.
Yeah.
On his...
That was weird. But
from these intros, you're not going to be able to guess what the movie is because talking about virtual reality. We could talk about the net. We could be talking about anything.
It could be anything. Let's let Scott Fletcher clarify, shall we?
The Lawnmower Man. A developmentally disabled landscaper named Job, played by Jeff Fahey, crosses paths with an obsessed government scientist, played by Pierce Brosnan, who has something to prove. Thanks to brilliant lab work, the mad doctor unlocks his test subject's potential for genius and for evil. As Job's intelligence grows, his pent-up rage begins to boil over. Based on Stephen King's short story with the same name, the film is a knockout vision of high-tech horror. The Lawnmower Man!
I think Scott Fletcher had a little too much fun with this episode.
I think he really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I think he was dorking around a little bit.
Yeah.
I have to be the first to say, though, I'm a huge fan of Stephen King's works. I've read 90% plus of everything he's ever written. This is not based on his short story, The Lawnmower.
No, everyone claims, and he even went to court to sue them, right?
That's exactly right. From the moment the film came out, Stephen King has tried to distance himself from it.
Yeah, which is too bad. Now, let me ask you this. I never read that short story or the novel it was based on. I assume this is one of his Richard Bachman books. I don't know if that's true or not.
It's from The Night Shift.
Is it?
Yeah, it's from Night Shift. It's not written under a pseudonym.
Okay, cool. So,
which, by the way, if you've never read The Night Shift, you need to get that book. It's got a great collection of short stories in it.
Oh, dude, I love Stephen King. So. Yeah. I need to buff up apparently, but
does it have? It has that Michael Keaton, Henry Winkler short story.
Yeah,
it's a classic.
It's on page 552.
You know, the book's darker. The book's a little darker, but Henry Winkler, dude, I forgot that existed.
Oh my gosh.
Next up on Film Sack.
Oh, that would be an awesome one to do.
We'll see about that. But anyway, so my question to you, Randy, is does the book have any resemblance to what was made in this film at all?
Very, very, very little.
What are the similarities? Kind of a semi-retarded guy on a lawnmower?
All right. Okay. There is a guy who is a lawnmower, right? He's a
lawnmower, yeah.
He's not a device. He's not a machine. He's a guy who mows lawns.
All right.
There's a space between those two words.
All right.
Okay. All right.
And there is, there is some supernatural control that this guy is able to gain over the reality.
Okay. Yeah. Not with the help of a virtual reality machine. All that stuff is bullcrap in the story, right?
Not in the short story.
That stuff isn't in the short story at all.
Mm-hmm. So he just naturally comes about these powers.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Well, there's sort of a mystery there. But it's not. I'm telling you, you got to think Stephen King. Stephen King loves to write as though there is this supernatural world or universe that's just right outside our own, and some people find themselves tapped into it, and then it causes them to do horrible things.
Yeah, it's a little like what's his name that he admires so much, the Cthulhu guy. My brain just went dead.
Ellison?
No, the old author. Crap. From Beyond is another movie based on his work that we really should watch for Film Sack. Anyway, I can't remember his name.
In the original short story, the lawn care guy is not actually a guy. He's a, he's an evil demon,
Okay.
And so
he's not all slow and kind of retarded like?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Yeah. Not even.
Nothing like this thing with, the overalls.
Lapidus.
I have to say that I think that the writer-director who did this, even though it's not a Stephen King, it's not really a Stephen King story, the character of Job is so similar to so many characters that Stephen King has written. Mm-hmm. That the first time you see this, I mean, you totally buy it because, it's kind of that whole Carrie kind of mentality of, someone who is very beaten down and, everybody around them is just so full of hate. And this person's almost a clean slate, and there's just so much hate put down on him when he actually rises above everything and matures. He first thing he does is use his power for evil to exact revenge, and that's a very common character for Stephen King.
Oh, the name I was looking for, I found it. H.P. Lovecraft. I'm so stupid.
Yeah.
H.P. Lovecraft. The founder of the original laser printer. H.P. Lovecraft.
No, this may not have been a lawn or a Stephen King based movie, but the people who were involved with it were obviously very influenced by his work. Not just the characters, like you mentioned, Brian, but also the machinery, the fact that technology becomes the enemy, not necessarily the people.
Now let's go over a couple of credits here. Directed by Brett Leonard. Writing credits include Stephen King, title only, that was removed following the lawsuit, and Brett Leonard. I'm guessing Stephen King and Brett Leonard are not buddies. I could be wrong about that, but it seems to me that they
actually, I think Brett Leonard was the guy who was driving the van.
I was just going to say that. It's Stephen King.
Now, this movie came out in 92. This guy was born in 59. Let me tell you some of the other stuff he did. He did Man-Thing. Based on the kind of a little bit obscure comic book character created by Jerry Conway, a friend of the show.
I thought it was a porno, but whatever.
Man-Thing.
Yeah, a very unwatchable film, unfortunately, as much of a Man-Thing fan as I am. Let me rephrase that.
Now,
as much a fan I am as the comic character Man-Thing.
Yeah.
Movie, not so much. But there's an interesting side note to this guy. I did a video for a music video for Peter Gabriel. I want to see if Ibbot can guess what it was.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I'm already on that page.
Oh, damn it.
But I wouldn't have guessed Kiss That Frog. I would have guessed Sledgehammer or one of the more well-known ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was.
Can you sling Sledgehammer for us a little bit, just Brian? Just a little bit of Sledgehammer?
Sure.
Go for it.
<Do-do-do-do-do-do>.
All right. He also did Virtuosity in 1995, which I think I remember pretty well. That was the Denzel Washington, Russell Crowe film. That was pretty bad. I remember that being kind of a stinker. in 95. Other than that, not real known for much else. He did, in the last thing he did was in 2000, he did Highlander The Source.
Where does that fit into the Highlander series?
Well, thought it was TV, but according to this, it was actual film, direct to DVD, and Duncan MacLeod was played by somebody named Adrian Paul, and I think that guy went on to do the TV show, but I'm not 100% about that. He was in JAG, but hey, wasn't everyone at one point or another?
Oh, of course.
I was in JAG, too.
Highlander, The Source, only has 3 stars, so not looking good for this guy as his career sort of petered out, and there really hasn't been anything from him since. That is not to say this movie doesn't have some things in it we like. For example, in the cast, we have Jeff Fahey, Lapidus from Lost.
Pilot Lapidus.
I like him. I like him a lot. I think he's compelling.
He's on Lost, he's the audience. Because, I mean, everybody, you know, the audience can't really relate to the others. And even a lot of people who are among the original castaways, you can't really relate to because they've got these backstories that are unfolding. But Lapidus is all, you know, he's out there. As far as everybody knows, there's nothing hidden about this guy.
Yeah, that guy feels like a mistake. Past. Like he shouldn't be there.
Right, exactly. And he's just as confounded by all the crap that's going on out there as we are. So he's the perfect relation for the audience, I think.
He's also that guy one of those actors I like, that they look better as they age. I actually think he's a much cooler looking person.
Oh, yeah. He's aged fast, though. It just doesn't seem like, I know this movie was 92, but wow.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like Jeff Fahey is almost 60 years old?
Weird. Anyway.
But the fact is he was a little old for the role. That he plays here in Lawnmower Man.
Yeah. He was born in 52, and right.
He was in his 40s when he made Lawnmower Man. And it's just it shows as the film goes on, and you get more and more shots of his face. He grimaces a lot, he screams a lot, and you see all these wrinkles, and you go, wow, he's kind of like Simple Jack, but really old. You know,
he's got a pretty good physique though for that dude in his 40s.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not looking at that by any means, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, and thank goodness that's not the only boobies we get to see this week.
Right, you get to see Pierce Brosnan's hair-covered ones. Is that not what you mean? Oh.
No. It was actually lady boobies.
Okay, Pierce Brosnan is also in the film. This is pre-007, post-Remington Steel. Right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of the same thing anyway. But anyway, Pierce Brosnan's in it. I thought he was terrible in this movie.
He was terrible.
Phoned it in. I like him in so many things. Too. Just terrible in this movie. Angry acting all the way. I have some clips that sort of reflect that later. My least favorite character, though, by far, is the character of the director, played by Dean Norris. Now, Dean Norris is a decent actor. I've been watching Breaking Bad on AMC. Great show. And he plays he's kind of a Vic Mackey style character, cop dude on that show that plays the brother-in-law of the main character. And he's really good, like compelling and interesting. And I really like him as a character. And this, he is ridiculously bad.
Yeah, it's a stereotype of the bad character. It's like the guy who speaks slowly and enunciates, you know, just like tries to be sinister without anything else to guide him except his big giant face on a screen.
And obviously, later on in the movie, he's always looking in one direction where the guy is generally sitting at the table that's talking to him.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where the guy is walking around and he continues to keep looking at that one chair. And I'm like, well, look at that chair. He's moving around. Obviously, this is one-way communication.
Yeah, glitch.
Yeah, glitch.
But hey, it's 2001, whatever.
This is the first thing. This is the topic of the first thing I learned from Lawnmower Man, and that is that if you take Dean Norris and you zoom in so far on him that you cut off the top of his head and you cut off his chin, he looks exactly like Val Kilmer.
Whoa,
he does. Yes.
Hold on a second. I got a screenshot of him. Hold on a second.
I don't think you even have to cut it.
Oh my goodness.
Because have you seen? I don't know if you've seen Val Kilmer lately, but I think he looks just like him now. Full stop, as the British would say.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. So moving on, a couple other people of note, really one other person. Jenny Wright plays this rich sort of single, or maybe married, I couldn't figure out, but this rich girl that lives near where the Lawnmower Man works.
Slut.
Is she a widow? Yeah. Widow. She's a total slut. Jenny Wright plays that character in everything she was ever in.
That must have been the part that you missed when you went to the bathroom.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. She was in Young Guns 2, as I recall, and rode off on a horse, sort of Lady Godiva style. And as a young person, I remember her thinking, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa,
hello.
Yeah, that was her. Anyway, she was, in other words, willing to do a lot. To
she
be
doesn't mind
movies.
Getting naked.
No, she's fine with it. She's okay with it. But everyone else is just kind of dumb. A lot of dumb actors, nobody of any note. And so that kind of covers that. A little trivia about the movie. Early versions of the film claim that they were related to the Stephen King work. We've talked about that. And he was pretty pissed about that. The 8 minutes of computer-generated effects. Okay, so there were 8 total minutes of computer-generated effects if you combined all that stuff into time.
Wow.
Took 7 people 8 months to complete on a budget of $500,000.
Wow.
So all I'm saying is give me a copy of Maya or 3D Studio Max, and I have better effects than you for less than $200 for the software in about a week.
And all you needed was 10 years' time.
No, Scott could whip that up over the weekend.
Yeah.
Easy. Now.
In a day if I had to.
Yeah. Could you turn people into bubbles?
Yes, could you do that? I don't even know how they did that. I couldn't do that today.
There's
a plugin for that.
There is a Maya plugin for
is
that.
Is there really?
Is it called the Lawnmower Man Effect?
Oh my gosh! Like Ken Burns, they put that in there. That's great. Awesome. I didn't know that. Is that really a plugin?
Yeah, there's really a plugin.
Interesting.
There's one for Shatter, and there's one for Bubulize or whatever it's called.
You've been bubulized.
Is there one for badly animated fake bees come to life that attack?
Yeah.
Oh, guards. God. Yeah, those were horrendous.
Those were pretty bad. So the effects were an interesting point I want to talk about real quick. At the time, pretty groundbreaking. I remember everybody was flipping out about this movie. But then I remembered, well, wait a minute. Didn't we get Jurassic Park like 8 months later? Can you tell me what happened
Josh.
There? Like normally this stuff has this slow progression of changes in the effects industry. No, here's something. And then the next year obliterates this and anything else that came before.
Oh yeah. No, it was amazingly dated, especially for a movie that is focused on future and virtual reality. It looked like the virtual reality arcade game. Do you guys ever get to play that? Where it's like there was a pterodactyl, I think, that could come down and pick you up, but pretty much the object of the game was to walk around this 3D landscape. And when you turned, your person turned. And
I don't remember that one.
I do remember it. And I don't remember. Was it just called? It was like VR or something.
Something like that. Yeah.
And it was all the rage.
Arcades had it.
Yeah, it was all the rage. I remember the Sega Genesis was going to come out with this headset. And you were going to be able to play Sonic in virtual reality. It was all this kind of stuff.
Great.
What's interesting to me is that rage of VR tech is going to be the norm for everybody moving forward kind of fizzled out because the technology hadn't caught up to the idea.
Yeah.
Today, you could totally pull this off, dude.
Don't give anybody any ideas.
You could take a PlayStation 3 and there is enough processing power in there to create a true virtual reality experience. All you need is some kind of like all-enclosing headgear or whatever. But the fad has so been obliterated that nobody cares anymore. But now we could finally do it.
It's because of this movie. It ruined it for us.
Well, maybe there's something to that. I don't know. Maybe Hollywood and media in general just destroyed this notion of being able
to set us back at least 20 years.
I mean, we're just talking about 3D again, like a bunch of pansies. We all saw Jaws 3. It was terrible. Mm-hmm. But here we go again with 3D technology as if, you know, VR was just an afterthought. But we finally have the tech to do this right. I don't understand why there isn't more momentum behind it. And maybe Brian's right. Maybe the movie killed it. I don't know.
You know, it actually starts killing it from the very first frame of the film. It has this big title card that says, by the turn of the millennium, a technology known as, and then in all caps, virtual reality will be in widespread use. And it actually says on the screen, it will allow you to enter computer-generated artificial worlds as unlimited as the imagination itself. And furthermore, the film predicts that the creators of virtual reality will use it for millions of uses, while others will fear it as a new form of mind control.
Right.
And I'm like, I know I said I wasn't going to talk a lot about World of Warcraft, but you know what? They pretty much described it. I mean, just right there,
it's a lot more behind the back sort of got into our public consciousness and not so obvious. All right, sit in this chair that's suspended by wires and wear this giant helmet for 20 minutes. That kind of stuff just didn't happen.
Yeah. Sensory deprivation, that would be cool. I would love to do something like that.
You guys saw the name of that company you worked for, right?
Virtual space
technologies.
Their tagline should be, we make complicated logos.
And we have everything's made of cement here, and only one person works here that we can tell.
Dude, except for the security guards. Well, let's bring out the army.
There's like 12 of them out there.
Come from?
I don't know. They're all living in that little hut by the arm.
While we're talking about names and logos and stuff, I have a deep question. Why is this character named Job?
From the biblical sense.
Yeah, that falls apart for me if it is the biblical thing.
It does, but it's mentioned one time in it, and it's spelled Job, J-O-B-E, mm-hmm. which is...
Okay.
So I don't know why.
But like,
they were
like,
afraid people were going to call him a job.
Yeah. This is Oscars week. We're recording this first week in March 2010.
Yeah.
And Oscars are on this coming Sunday night.
Don't tell them how the sausage is made.
No, that's true, because this show will come out. They'll hear it Friday. It's all good.
That's true. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
right. And one of the films that's gotten some Oscar nominations is A Serious Man, the Coen brothers film.
Yeah.
And in A Serious Man, the lead character, Larry Gopnik, is Job. He is the modern version of the biblical Job. It's a complete retelling of, well, it's not a complete retelling. It's a very close retelling of this story of this guy being removed from God and then, beaten down by the devil again and again and again.
Yeah.
And I just can't find it. I can't find that name here. And I don't think people just name characters, oh, that sounds good, we'll name him that. No, they really, people put a lot of thought into what they name characters.
Yeah, it feels so like they may have meant to do something like that with this. I think it got lost along the way, but there is that one passage in the Bible, Brian, that says, and Job did escape from the belly of the whale and mind control his lawnmower. Remember that? And wore a Tron
suit.
What's
up with that big red lawnmower anyway? It shoots grass out the front. That's so totally ineffective. I mean, you're going to totally pile up on grass.
Well, totally. It looked better when it was chewing up furniture to kill that guy.
Oh, yeah. I like the way it flew through the air. That was just incredible.
Yes.
My daughter came in while I was watching that scene.
Yeah.
And she goes, she watched the whole thing where he ran outside and got attacked by the thing. And she just looked at me and went, what are you watching? I said, trust me, it makes sense. And she goes, why is that guy look like Tron? She actually said, and she's 15.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Virtual reality suit that Job wears during the movie. He has that and it glows. Yeah. For what purpose? Yeah. I have no idea.
By the way, if you're married to Remington Steele, or excuse me, what's his name? Pierce Brosnan. You are far too willing to forgive him for his horrible habit of just sitting around in VR all day. That girl was wishy-washy back and forth. And it occurred to me that she was supposed to come back at some point. And
that's what I was thinking.
Reunite. Mm-hmm. But no, I think he ends up making off with the kid's mom.
That's right. Neighbor's wife.
That's what it's implied.
Is that the idea? Because they have no relationship. She says like three words the whole movie. And at the end, they're all
you
huddled.
You promised
like,
you were going to take me to the city. Ooh, the city.
The city. Oh, and then she comes back down and she's all dressed. And she's like, I'm going to the city. And that was pretty much it.
Oh,
I
love that
part. You guys skipped the scene where she's totally asleep and he's lighting up a cigarette. In bed.
Oh, no. I saw that. She just got really pissed. Yeah.
And I got it. There was a lot of smoke, a lot more smoking in this film than I expected.
Yeah, from 2001.
Right, it's 1992, right?
Oh, 92, I'm sorry.
Yeah, 92.
And it made me realize what a different world of cinema we have now post Joe Esterhaas and his putting his foot down on smoking in scripts. Because I forget sometimes. I forget that before a certain time there wasn't a lot of smoking in films, and then it ramped up and it ramped up and it ramped up, and then the 90s, it's ridiculous, and then all of a sudden, the turn of the century, and there's no smoking in films.
Yeah.
You know, it was very rare, the occasional character, and it's always shown as a horrible vice. Like it used to.
You do not want freaking Pierce Brosnan leaning over to you after a nightmare with a mouthful of smoke blowing on you. Hey, baby, I had a bad dream.
He did make me feel antsy in that scene, though. God, he was smoking.
He was gross.
Waving the cigarette around and was flipping the channels on the TV. And I'm like, babe. I'm like, holy hell. I'd punch the crap out of this guy.
Speaking, that's funny that you talk about
Why does it smell like Mad Men in here?
Right. Randy said something about sort of social mores and smoking and film and all that. And one of the scenes that really took me off guard was people beating on a kid in their driveway and everyone's just sort of pretending it doesn't happen. Dude, that does not happen, dude. If you see that around here, you just run over there and jack that dude.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I don't care who you are or if that's your kid or not. you know, you're basically beating the hell out of him in your own driveway. F that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's an interesting question. Was that a reflection of poor movie making, or was that a reflection of the true times? I don't remember 91 that well like that.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. Back in 91, everyone was beating their kids in the
yeah. You know, did people stand by? Because, I mean, I know we got into that whole political correctness, and then at the same time, we saw a lot of people, you know, ratting each other out and going, oh, so-and-so is abusing their child, and people coming in and interrogating children.
Did your parents hit you? Yeah, I can't remember a single time that somebody would, you know, time in my lifetime that people would just sit back and let that happen. But, you know, maybe I'm not remembering the 90s.
Maybe someone kicked the poo out of you because you witnessed it or something.
Right, exactly.
I don't know. But, okay. Interesting stuff, nonetheless. All right, I can't go much further without playing a couple of clips. We have some all lined up, and these are buttes, and I can't find them.
Buttes.
Here we go.
These are buttes.
Techno gibberish at the top of the movie.
My treatments are making him smarter at an incredible rate. It's more important than training him for war.
You know our funding comes from the shop. They want this animal trained in virtual reality to use the infrared battle helmet, not to recite the ABCs.
Okay. What the hell was that? To use the infrared battle helmet.
I have one of those.
Hey, use the word infrared.
Yeah,
we think that sounds pretty cool. Techno. Yeah.
I just don't get, like, they're training this monkey, right? He's gonna be a soldier. And of course he busts out of his bonds. And he sneaks up on a security guard and steals the guy's gun.
And shoots him in the face.
Why does a monkey need any special training? Especially really expensive, special CGI-based training to pull a gun out of a holster and pull the trigger.
I think they can't they do that on their own? That's what you're arguing.
If they had been training like a crocodile to do that, I would have been blown away.
Right.
But a monkey? He's a monkey. I mean, have you ever actually been around a monkey? A monkey could operate the computer half their size.
That's right.
They're half the size. They can whoop her butts in a hurry.
Oh, dude, they're stronger than 10 men. They throw their poo at you. They know what they're doing.
I just felt like I was like, you could have gone so far with this. It could have been awesome. And instead, what does a monkey do? He shoots a guy. I have seen footage of a monkey driving a car. Don't give me.
The ideal situation would be that he stealths around the corners and, you know, throw some keys to distract the guard and then, you know,
yeah,
him
on
the head with a...
throws a banana at him.
Yeah. Right. Just eats it, throws it on the floor, appeal. Yeah.
And runs away. Let's move on to another one. We got a smoking is dangerous clip.
Hey, Jake, that's dangerous.
You forget who you're talking to, halfwit.
That's dangerous.
Joe, boy, go ahead and finish what you're doing.
He's smoking, Terry.
That's right, I'm smoking. Jake,
he don't mean no harm.
Jake, how's your old man doing? Worse than ever.
Okay, my favorite part of that guy's just pissed at everything. How's your old man doing? Worse than ever. Lapidus is over there yelling like a crazy man.
He's smoking!
A little over the top, but... I don't know. Hey, you know what? I like him as a dummy. I didn't like him as a dummy.
I hated it.
Really?
Yeah, I hated it.
So over. So over the
I liked
top.
Him better. I thought he was better as a dummy.
His take on people who are mentally challenged is really weird. Yeah. Really weird.
But as he got smarter, his hair got weirder and it got really disconcerting. I didn't like that helmet.
I liked him a lot better when he was smart, more menacing. When he was stupid, I mean, he was cutting the lawn and walking like he had a crap in his pants or something. I mean,
But seriously, if you have seen Tropic Thunder recently, he is the exact character that Ben Stiller plays in the film within the film, Simple Jake.
Yeah, like, that's true.
Simple Jack. It's exactly the same guy in the same outfit and everything.
Yeah.
But he's got Jeff Daniels' hair from Dumb and Dumber.
My wife said that when we were watching it. She goes, that reminds me of something. I said, Dumb and Dumber. She goes, that's it! Is
Dumb and Dumber? Or when I first saw him, I thought, Yahoo Serious.
What makes me sad is I grew up in a real agricultural part of the world, and it was not at all unheard of that, you know, you could get some work on the weekend or during the summer doing something like, you know, moving irrigation pipes or you know, helping somebody pull weeds out of an onion patch or whatever. And yeah. I love overalls. And it makes me sad that when I see someone in overalls, I just think that person is mentally handicapped. How did they go and take a normal piece of clothing that's great, so functional yeah. and comfortable, and
don't
turn
have to
it
wear
into
a belt?
Do you think it's a lasting impact of this film that it changed the way we see overall wearers forever?
I don't know.
That and Sling Blade.
Oh my
yeah,
gosh.
So yeah, good. Sling Blade.
Do it, Brian.
No, I can't.
Oh, come on. Give us one.
I don't know what to say. maybe give me some mustard on a biscuit. French fried taters.
Nobody That's does it like you do it. Amazing to me. Before I play the next clip, most uncomfortable kissing scene in any movie we've seen on FilmSack.
Even more so than the apes.
Yes.
The
apes. Far worse. Give me your tongue, Job. Give me your tongue. I don't want to hear that ever again. Yeah. That was ridiculously gross. Ugh.
Thank goodness the scene stopped there.
I was literally I was nauseated during that scene. Definitely. I was like, please.
Well, not to mention the fact that he's supposed to be mentally handicapped, and it's bad enough.
Yeah. She's like taking advantage of a mentally challenged dude who just has had enough VR training yet to know what he's doing. All right. Let's play another clip.
You know, I got to stop you, though.
Go ahead.
Isn't it odd that we still can't reverse the situation and have the same results at all? If Job had been Joba, the woman, the mentally handicapped woman,
Joba?
and she's having sex with a normal person, it would be rape. I mean, it would be horrible. It would take this film into a whole other place.
Oh, no. It's one of those weird contradictions that is out there all the time.
But, you know, he's a guy. We're like, well, I guess at least he's getting some.
Yeah, exactly. Way to go, mentally challenged guy.
Yeah, good job, Lapidus. You can fly home and tell your buddies about it. Okay, moving on to a clip about... talking to Job about being smarter. I really liked this conversation. And by liked, I mean hated. Here it is.
I have other different games. I even have one that could help make you smarter.
I was born dumb.
But you would like to be smarter, wouldn't you?
I don't know.
Okay. Sad and pathetic.
It's killing me.
But that was the moment where he got consent. See, that's a seminal moment in the film where, you know, finally.
Yeah, I don't know his consent. Just remember that whenever you're trying to build something on your property and there's really strict codes in the neighborhood, you just got to get the local councilman to say, I don't know.
The ethical.
he didn't say no.
Right. Mm-hmm. The ethical stretching that was going on in this film, was memorable. I mean, it was really Remington Steele being as creepy as you can be. Hey, it's the weird neighbor guy with all the VR tech, so let's send the little kid over there. Let's send the mentally challenged guy over there. Let's have their parents act like it's no big deal. In fact, one of the parents, let's just hook up with him at the end of the movie after your husband's eaten alive by a freaking lawnmower. Anyway.
I am glad they left the scene, though, because I got a little worried because when Pierce Brosnan was doing the voiceover at the very end, he was like, I'm going underground. Mm. The next scene is him down in his basement, and I'm thinking... Dude, they're going to find you there.
Yeah, they already know where that is.
Yeah, they know where that's at. And then he finally packed his stuff up and he left. I was like, okay.
Yeah, it's your freaking house with your giant computer voice recorder.
Dude, that was a huge monitor, but it was a TV. That's back in the day when you hooked your computers up to TVs.
When you hooked your Atari 800s up to the TV?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what that was. Okay, I got a clip here about the devil being in your head.
Why are you standing there half naked exposing yourself? What sort of perverted behavior is this? You know, you should knock before you come into somebody's house. This is my house. I paid a rent, and I want to cash my checks now because I want to buy some new clothes, and I'm going to buy some cowboy boots, and I'm going to make this place a ranch. That Dr. Angelo, isn't it? He's been feeding the devil in your head. No, he hasn't!
All right, can we talk about the priest for a minute?
Wow.
I mean, what a jerk.
Yeah, we were going to talk. Yeah. I mean, I have a note to talk about him when we get to our checklist because he certainly fits a new stereotype we haven't seen yet, which is the whole clergy stereotype. But he was ridiculous. I mean, I think movies have a tendency to do this. Usually it's technology. They'll reduce technology down to some really low common denominator, push one button and save the world kind of thing. And they never really are very true to what computers would really do in a situation like they have. You know, it doesn't just upload viruses from from what the Goldblum's notebook to the freaking mothership or whatever. Mm-hmm. So
the ID4 theory.
Yeah, exactly. You know how I love that one. Yeah. But this is an example of let's boil everything we know about Catholicism down to this one angry, white-haired, abusive dude. Forget the fact that he's got a church and people and parishioners and he's, you know, all the other things people. These places do. People. I mean, take religion out of it. These
That's
places
why he's so angry.
They feed people. They, you know, they do a lot of things. They don't just stomp around killing bugs and beating up on the help, on the retarded help. I don't get how you can do that and still feel like that's okay to put in your film.
Right. Like sometimes they have to practice using their whip.
That's right.
That's true.
I mean, it's just one of about 1,000 stereotypes in this movie of like, all right, the angry guy at the tough guy at the gas station. And then the, you know, the parishioner who's, you know, absolutely the dark side of or not parishioner, but the priest who's absolutely the dark side of being a priest. And, you know, scientist A that is experimenting with things beyond his control. I mean, nobody had any, there was no depth in this movie as far as like expanding characters any more than laterally. There was no depth.
Yeah. And black suits, government.
Also, right, exactly. Also, there's no such thing as a 12-year-old kid who says the word dutical.
Is that what he said? Because I went on it like 100 times. I wasn't sure. I was like, what did he say?
Dutical. That was awesome. Like, dude, no. You want to say, dude, that was radical. You got it all mashed up, stupid kid. Hey, Randy, Randy's got an idea of where this kid has been in other something else. What was it you were talking about before?
This is Austin O'Brien. This is a fourth or fifth cousin of mine.
Oh, whoa, dude.
Actor.
Yeah.
who was the, you know, the lead role in Last Action Hero. He was
nice.
The kid.
Yeah.
He's the kid who played opposite Arnold Schwarzenegger in that famous and infamous film.
Great movie.
That may at some point make it.
That movie is not as bad as people make it out to be.
It's pretty bad, though. It's pretty.
It's not as bad as Lawnmower Man.
No. Hell no.
I'll give you that.
And Austin is about 29 years old now.
Is he recovering?
He's a recovering child actor.
The great thing is he doesn't look like that anymore. His hair is not blonde anymore. You can't really, if you saw the guy in the grocery store, you wouldn't think, oh, that was the kid in Last Action Hero. You know, he's 30 years old. He doesn't look like that. Mm. And so he actually gets work, and he has been working.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff. It shows in his credits here. He's been in all kinds of TV and other stuff. He's doing all right. Good for him. Nice job, Mr.
Yeah, but what a horrible role. Like, it's just, he's thrown into this any kid role, but... Mm. It's not the classic any kid saves the day role.
Yeah.
Damn it.
It's a dutical role.
She's just the dutical.
Is his name Billy?
You know what? What is his name? It's
Peter.
Peter. Oh, yeah. I added Peter to the list of names they could possibly
have. Should have been Billy.
Yeah. Could have been Billy. All right. Got another clip lined up. This one is Big Brother Dude Annoys Me. This is the guy with the big face that we hate, and you'll get a piece of why he's so obnoxious right here.
I'm preparing Angelo to present his results to you personally, as you've requested. He's met with incredible success.
Precisely why we feel it's time for you to begin guiding his efforts in a specific direction.
Which direction is that?
We're most anxious to see what effect the original Project 5 formulas will have on this subject.
Hello. I like that sound like I'm going to say something and then kind of fade off.
Yes. Blah, blah.
Mr. Anderson.
Yes. So
here comes some kind of big conversation, then I'm just going to kind of fade out.
You know what, Ibbit? That's kind of dead on. That sounds a lot like Agent Smith. I hadn't even thought about that.
It's a combination of Agent Smith and William Shatner in the 60s.
I'm finding that this movie has influenced a lot of other movies, it looks like.
Yeah. Here's a good case study of what not to do.
Also, you feel like it's had a positive effect on the industry by giving us bad examples, Brian?
Yeah. I don't know, because it seems like some of the people have taken these bad examples, such as Mr. Anderson.
Yeah.
Maybe. And, you know, and the overalls.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
The remote control.
Can we
lawnmower.
Do the rest of this episode talking like that?
Yeah. I don't know. It'd be like a 5-hour show.
But it would be so much fun.
The guy's a talented actor. It just bugs me he was thrown into that. It's just stupid.
Okay. Hey, he got paid.
We got one last clip. Most advanced chip we ever had. Chimp as in monkey. Here, well, I guess they're not monkeys, apes. Most advanced monkey
don't
ape
want to get
chimp.
That wrong.
Yeah, I'd hate to inflame those people. All right, here you go. Yeah.
Idiot. Goddamn idiot!
My God, do you know what you have done? There is no telling what the Project 5 abstract will do to a human being. Do you understand me?
What Project 5 will do to a human is exactly what we want to find out, Doctor.
You know what it did to Russell 1138, and he was the most advanced chimp we ever had.
Freak
really
out. Angry.
He's a freak out.
Well, I'm really calm.
Brian Dunaway encouraged me because you keep bringing it up, but you've basically inspired me to capture angry acting moments in these films. And that was a fine example of that. So I just want to say, why was this not a career? Like, what kept his career going after this? Why did this not have everybody saying, oh, freaking Remington Steele's so bad in this, he'll never be James Bond. What pulled him away and made him okay after this? I don't understand it, to be honest.
I feel like he must have taken some acting lessons, and I'm not Brian Ibott. I just realized you asked him this question.
No, anybody, whoever.
He was still doing this same thing in Mrs. Doubtfire. You know, it's only later that he like really came down.
Which was only a year later too.
That's true, but like, for example, if you've ever seen The Matador, this little film starring Pierce Brosnan as a hired killer who travels all around the world and may or may not have lost his edge. Yeah. It's a dark comedy.
Yeah.
He's fantastic in it. He's so good. He's so nuanced. And he's also so correct for the role. And I just can't, I don't know, I can't put the two guys together. They're totally different actors.
Yeah, they feel like different dudes. They definitely do. I thought he was great.
You said they feel like two different dudes.
I like the Thomas Crown Affair. I thought he was interesting in that.
Well, he's been in so much stuff lately too. He's in that the Percy Jackson film as a centaur.
Oh, did I tell you guys? Future film sack movie, without question.
Oh, no, yeah, that'd be a good one.
It's horrible.
Is it?
Yeah. It's horrible.
I didn't think it was that bad. But.
Oh my gosh, him as the centaur. Well, I seriously almost vomited fire. That was so bad. Ugh, worst Chris Columbus movie for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that movie, Columbus. Wow.
Yeah. The first Harry Potter director. Yeah. That's why I was so excited about it. And you know what? The books are awesome. Those Percy Jackson books, awesome. But
if you want to see a more recent Pierce Brosnan movie that where he was still angry acting, Dante's Peak. My wife loves that.
Oh, yeah.
She watches it constantly.
Oh, when did that come out? That was right around then, wasn't
it? 97.
Yeah. It was later. There were two volcano movies that came out the same time.
That's right. Yeah.
One of them called Volcano with Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah. And that crazy lesbian lady. Can't think of her name.
But I think he kind of had his foot already in the door of the James Bond thing before this, because when Timothy Dalton was offered the role of James Bond, they were going to offer the role to Pierce Brosnan at that time, but he couldn't do it because of the Remington Steele contract. And so he kind of had his foot already in the door with the broccoli people.
He makes a fine James Bond.
Another future film sack movie.
Right, right.
Yeah. He makes a great James Bond because he's capable of impersonating Sean Connery. He tried to impersonate Sean Connery. He ended up being a little more Roger Moore-ish than Connery-ish, but he does a fine job. I don't feel like it's the same person. And the turning point I've realized is the Tailor of Panama. Around the turn of the century, all of a sudden, something happened. Pierce Brosnan's a real actor. Mm. Before that, and this film is way before that, he is laughable. It's hysterical.
Mm. Well, he's got a bunch of other crap going on now and is highly regarded. So good job. To me, he's like Lapidus in his own way. You know what I mean? Like Lapidus, we haven't seen much from Jeff Fahey in a long time, like before Lost.
Yeah. I didn't even realize who that was.
He's been in other stuff. He's in Machete, by the way.
Yeah,
I'm beyond stoked for that. He's perfect for that kind of thing. He's got the Mickey Rourke factor to him. This weird flash in the pan, late '80s, early '90s stuff, and then nobody cared. And then he was in movies like Locusts, The Eighth Plague, and Crimson Force, and The Eden Formula, and Scorpius Gigantus. I mean, these are terrible, terrible movies. Suddenly he's on Lost, CSI Miami. He's going to be on Machete, El Dorado. Which, who knows what that is? I mean, the guy's got a chance to actually have a career, and I feel like there's a lot of actors in that category, and they're so much better the older they get. But
yeah, he's much better now.
I like GoldenEye though. I'm going on the record. I think the new James Bond guy is my favorite, but I like GoldenEye a lot.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, well, let's move on to our checklist, shall we? The Film Sack checklist for Lawnmower Man. Did anybody barf? I happen to know some trivia off camera that the Jenny slut chick, she barfed off camera during the
probably
scene.
Probably after the lick kiss scene, probably.
Well, that would have done it to me, but I think it was while she was in the VR elliptical thing.
I could see that. That makes sense.
She had to finish filming without it moving or something.
For people who haven't seen it yet, there's a big... those big round
those
circular
concentric
things.
Circle things. Any of you guys ever been in one of those?
No, never in my life. It'd make me barf.
I wanted to try one of those too, just to float around in it and see.
I'd puke.
I would too. I'm emotion sick kind of dude. I'd lose it. But I like seeing a monkey in one. That was great.
Yeah, that's
that was cool.
Look like a little Tron monkey.
Yeah.
Sure. Booby.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Check.
And gross. I want to say.
Oh,
the boobies like, themselves weren't gross.
Didn't like the banana boobs?
No, not a fan. I hadn't really counted on someone describing it in a way that was so perfect.
Banana boobs.
Brilliant. Stereotypes. The mentally challenged, the bad scientist, the evil priest, the hot housewife, getting it on with the lawnmower man. Also, the whole revenge thing, the one-by-one sort of serial killer thing at the end.
I'm going to kill you last.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite stereotype in the film is also my favorite performance in the film. So I'm going to save it till you ask me about my favorite performance.
Okay,
I know who it is. I can feel it.
Really? Okay. Then when we get there, I'm going to have Brian guess.
This is interesting. This is real interesting, Brian. You got me peaked up.
Black guy dies first. There were no black guys in this movie.
No, not a one.
There was not. What a racist movie.
I know. I feel like it was not nearly well represented at all. Multicultural in any way. decapitation, no, but I don't know. They could have done
with the lawnmower, maybe.
Yeah. We didn't get to see it.
I hate to reset, but it wasn't just that there were no minorities in the film. There were no meaningful lines delivered by a woman in the film.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
It's
true. You know, this is a real white boy movie.
Yeah, for
sure. It
is. For
totally.
Sure.
I thought you were going to take me to the city.
Yeah.
Because I'm incapable of taking myself.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to go anywhere. Okay. Someone peeing? No. Wilhelm scream? No. Okay, bad guy with a theme song or sound? The company kind of had one. Every time they'd be in the dark, dank halls of the company, it would be this weird, ominous, what have you.
Yeah,
the Kenobi type. The best I could put on that would be the Irish dude in charge of groundskeeping. That was
Jeffrey
kind of
Lewis.
His boss. Yeah.
Jeffrey Lewis.
I like that guy.
Jeffrey Lewis.
Yeah,
I like him a lot. Not Irish. Yeah, Irish.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think
what
that's
is it
what
you're
doing
over
he was
Joe?
Going for.
He was going for. He's not actually.
Oh, Job,
he doesn't normally sound like that.
Job, I'm going to get a bullet to the chest, don't you know? I also like the guy that was forced to commit suicide out by that wall. That was great.
Yeah.
Let's see. Animal or robot as comedy relief? One word. Lapidus.
Lapidus.
Because what else was there? Nothing else was funny. The monkeys were made out to be horrible.
Yeah.
So whatever. Kid named Billy, Bobby, Peter, or Buddy? Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Check.
And finally, my favorite. A cave that looks like a vagina. You could argue that some of the flying around in VR space had some phallic something happening there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, until you have those metal slicers. Oh, that's enough to turn you off.
Now, there was a vagina like a cave, so.
Oh, man. Brian Dunaway. Woo.
That just happened.
All right. Now is the point of the show where we talk about our favorite things. Let's see if let's see if Brian Dunaway can actually guess what Randy's was because he thinks he knows.
Oh yeah. I think his favorite part is going to be the Irish guy,
Jeffrey Lewis. You're correct.
Oh, yep. I am a
big fan.
Yeah, me and Randy kind of share a kinship in some of our character actors, and that's the reason why I knew he would pick that.
So what is it about his performance, Randy?
Jeffrey Lewis does this performance that he calls Celestial Navigations. He's been doing it for like 30 years, and sometimes it involves other people, but it's often just him. And all he does is use his voice and a poetic writing of and the observation of the universe and a little kind of creepy trifling music. And it's stunning. The guy has made a career out of being an orator, and he's really, really good. And it was surprising to me to see him in this film, because whenever he was delivering lines, I was just like rapt. I was right there.
Oh, you know, yeah. Like,
He brought me back into the movie when I was off trying desperately to not pay attention to how bad the movie was. I just it's so sad to me that there he is with his talents stuck in this stupid stereotypical role, you know?
Yep. Paying the bills. Brian Ibbett, your favorite moment or thing or person?
Well, you've got this scene early on in the film where Pierce Brosnan is in a VR chair in his home, and he's playing around with a menu that is like the relaxing menu. Like it's relaxing, and then there are a bunch of choices underneath it, like plunging, falling, and rapid descent.
Yeah, fall into your desk, please. That's always relaxing.
Yeah, that's when the girl came down and busted him.
Yeah.
It was like a dirty old sweaty.
That would have not been the. And it was funny that she mentioned later, too, because that's the first thing I thought. First of all, not the first thing a pervert would, a science guy would do. It would be like, you know, Pamela Anderson button, you know, that kind of stuff. But
Pamela Anderson button.
But then she said, I mean, she said something about it. She mentioned something about, you know, the perverseness of it. Next thing
she did the typical modern, this is totally normal. Are you going to raid with your friends all night long? Are you going to,
take me to the city? Right.
Yeah.
Take me to the freaking city. Brian Dunaway, your favorite thing.
Oh, it's, well, we shared, me and
Oh, you and you already shared. This. You want to know?
Me and Randy got to share because I thought Jeffrey Lewis, went, the entire time he was on stage or on screen, was just brilliant.
I'm going to give you that too, but I'm going to say that my very favorite moment was the CGI burning priest. I really enjoyed that.
Oh, that was pretty cool.
Watching him go down in a horribly fake fire was really, really awesome.
Particle effect.
Sure.
It is that part of the show where we get to sum up what we think of this film in 140 characters or less. Let's go around real quick and do it with, we'll start with where we left off, Mr. Ibbett.
Well, aside from the aforementioned Jeffrey Lewis, best performance in the film delivered by, well, appropriately enough, the lawnmower.
Oh. Custom-made remote control as well.
Yes.
Yeah. I did a very nice job with that. Let's go to Randy Jordan.
Let's see, my Twitter. When you're in the virtual universe, getting access out requires solving a 20-sided Rubik-type puzzle.
I really enjoyed that. That was actually
all right. Yes. It was okay.
That was one of them. That was the best. I mean, they definitely saved all their best work for the end because
that was
head and shoulders above everything else they had done up until then.
Yeah, the Job face on top of the thing. That was just kind of creepy. I thought that was fairly effective. Okay, Brian, sum it up.
The Lawnmower Man, possibly the lamest title of any movie or short story ever.
I'll agree.
I was born dumb.
That's your title right there. That should have been the title of the movie.
Born Dumb.
That should have been the title of
Born Dumb.
Well, here's what people missed while they walked out of the room while this film was playing. Virtual Space Technologies is a stupid name.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Video game playing monkeys. Remington Steel is hairy. Nothing like getting woken up by your smoking husband. It's not as weird and creepy. What? Oh, I don't know what I meant there. Nobody puts Tron Monkey in a corner.
Nice.
Let's play what Scott Fletcher has to say. He'll sum it up with a quote from the film.
My birth cry will be the sound of every phone on this planet ringing in unison.
Indeed. And if that's not enough for you, there's this.
I saw God. I touched God.
Wow.
That was a really effective scene because it was the first time I really seen Jeff Fahey do anything that was... Yep. That seemed really valid, but the way Scott Fletcher just did that.
Yep, he summed it up, man.
Much better than Jeff Fahey.
Awesome.
That's great. Thank you, Scott Fletcher. Thank you, everybody. That's going to do it for this episode of Film Sack. You'll never guess what we're having next time. The next movie up next week is The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, which is never truly quantified, but we'll get to that next week. So wait for that 1950s classic, The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms. Don't forget to visit the show notes on the web at filmsack.com. Leave your comments, check out the links to previous shows. You'll find all our RSS feeds, iTunes links, and all that. You can also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/filmsack, and send your feedback and film recommendations to filmsack@gmail.com. For me, for Randy, for Brian, and for Jeff Fahey, Lapidus!
Lapidus! I'm born dumb.
We'll see you next time. Yeah, yo.
Hold on. I've still got a weird lag, though, so I'm going to sound like I'm drunk. Yes.
I don't know what to say. maybe give me some mustard on a biscuit.